bless everyone. Amen. Good to see everybody back for communion night. Amen. Amen. Let's just stand and sing that song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
And 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, the saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. And I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, with You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall, oh, when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. Lord, when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
Or testimonies once again, I heard announcements, but just keep remembering the Raber family as they travel home tonight, amen. The God give them traveling mercies, amen. Amen. Just bow our heads in a word of prayer, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being so good to us, oh God, Lord. Given your bride in this day and this age, the word that you've given to us, Father God, we feel so small, but yet, God, you've given us so much, and we're so thankful for it tonight, Father God, Lord. We just pray, oh God, as we go into service, that we can worship you with all our hearts, oh God, that we can. Oh, Lord, receive the word tonight, Lord, that would sink deep down in our hearts, that we would receive something from the throne of heaven, Father God. Lord, we just pray, oh God, for the Raber family as they travel home, that you'd watch over and protect them, oh God. Send your angels before them, Father, and behind them and around about them, Father God. For Lord, they're your children, Father. And bless them abundantly for coming and working over here, God. Lord, we just pray, oh God, over the tithes and the offerings, Father, that you just bless them for the furtherance of your kingdom, Father God. May souls be won by them, Father God. Lord, you receive all the glory for everything that we would do in this service, Father God. Bless everyone that pushed their way out, God, to receive communion of you tonight, Father God. Lord, we just don't want it just to be a one time. We want to have communion with you every day, Father God. Lord, We just love you so much, God. We just want to give everything we can to you, Father God. But we just pray that you'd have your way in the service right now, Father. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, oh God. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, This Is Like Heaven to Me, amen. Amen. How many knows not this world, not this physical world, not the walls here, but amen. This is like heaven in the spiritual realm to us, amen. At least it ought to be, amen.
We find many people who can understand why we are so happy and free. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Praise God. This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. So when we are happy, we sing and we shout. Some don't understand us, you see. We're filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt, and this is like heaven to me. Is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. We've heard the sweet music, the heavenly chord, from glory land over the sea. A soul-filling message from Jesus our Lord, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Praise God. This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me.
Amen. Why don't we sing that again? Why don't you greet your neighbor? Amen. Give him a hug. Tell him that you love him. Amen.
Oh, this is like heaven to me. Praise God. This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over fair land, and this is like heaven to me. And this is like heaven to me. Praise God. This is like heaven to me.
Sing a
that song, the love of Jesus is so wonderful. It's so high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it. Amen. Amen. And the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Oh, wonderful. Sing that again. Oh, the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Oh, wonderful. So high, it's so high, you can't get over it. The love of Jesus. Oh, wonderful. It's so high, you can't get over it. Low, you can't get under it. Wide, you can't get around it. Oh, so high, you can't get over it. Low, you can't get under it. Wide, you can't get around it. Oh, one more time, the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. Oh, the love of Jesus. Oh, one more time, so high. Oh, yes, so high. You can't get over it. Low, you can't get under it. Wide, you can't get around.
Amen. It sounds like all sisters out there. His brothers are getting overwhelmed today. Amen. Amen. Let's have Brother David Loberger sing a little louder. Amen. Let's just sing that song. When the Savior calls, I'll be listening. Amen. As our brother Cam prepares himself to come. Amen. He said, keep the song short. I said, well, brother, I said, you come down whenever you want. So, but whenever he feels led, but amen. We'll just sing that song. I'll be listening. Amen. How many's going to be listening for the Savior's voice? Amen.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear him. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be, oh, listening for my, if my heart is right. Oh, if my, listening out.
Good to see somebody made it back tonight this evening. Old pastor let loose a little bit this morning. Scared some back to Pennsylvania, but we're doing all right. I'm just joking. I didn't scare him away. But have a little thought this evening where I get into continuing off with this morning. Just a little thought, and I did my best not to have too much there so I wouldn't go too far. So God be pleased with what He would like to say with you this evening. Just a very simple thought to continue on with this morning. And this morning we are dealing with how God, if you really were catching what was being said, it was talking about the restoration of the Word in the church, but how God would anoint or stir up individuals in order to fulfill His purpose. Amen. So anyway, let's move in our Bibles this evening. Let us start in 2 Peter 3:1. After that, we're going to go to Daniel 9, verse 1. 2 Peter 3:1 says here, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Amen. So notice he says, I'd like to stir up your minds. But then he says, what is he stirring your mind to? The word that had already been sowed by the prophets. Of course, by the commandments of our Lord and Savior. Daniel 9, verse 1. Daniel 9, verse 1, saying here, says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Hazurus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, here we are moving into the Word once again this evening, God, and we're just desiring that You'd speak to us, God. Help us to move outside ourselves, get alongside, and just allow the same Holy Ghost which we're longing for, which we want more of, Lord, just to completely have His way this evening, God. Lord, we might be tired, a little weary, Lord. Maybe perhaps service a little long this morning, but God, I pray, oh God, that You'd certainly anoint this service, God. May the children of God receive here, O God, and act upon the word that they hear, Lord. And God, I just hear as Your vessel, God, this is my desire, Lord. I don't preach something I want someone else to desire, God. I preach something that I feel like I need as well, God. So please come help us all, Lord, as we hear the word this evening, Lord. And Lord, we move into communion, God. Just have Your way in the name of Jesus Christ and the bride said together, amen. You may be seated. This evening we're going to work with a little topic and a little direction with this evening's sermon. It'll be called Stirred by the Word. And should God help us, we'll just let the Lord have His liberty here and say a few words to you and let you be on your merry way into communion. Depends what your definition of a few words is. Sometimes you might be used to a lot more, so may seem to be few. But this evening, we want to continue the thought. Remember this morning how we were working with how God literally come to the prophet and declared that 70 years of captivity would be upon the people. And they'd be taken away and they'd have to, of course, endure many hardships and trials. But God still with His chosen people would be with them, take care of them, and allow them to actually make it through it. Amen. Now, notice 70 years, it's actually a little bit more than a scriptural generation. As we understand, a scriptural generation is 40 years. But notice, above all, is that God would be willing to allow things to fulfill, so to say, a little script or maybe a passage of His eternal Word to allow that story to be expressed among men. And everything, even the backslidings or whatever would be upon those people, would be something that God had already known about and God had already ordained them to go through. Amen? But this morning we're talking about and trying to get you along the avenue or the thought in mind of what restoration was. And the great thing about restoration is it's God's work. Amen? It's not your work or anyone's work or anyone to take credit of. Because when it comes down to the fine reading of that word, it comes down to God Himself fulfilling what He wrote. Amen? Amen. Yeah. So here we are. I wouldn't call us little nothings, but I would call us just people fulfilling the Word of God, being that attribute of the Word. And in so fulfilling this portion, we have found that we should be a very privileged within our mind. Amen? And noticing how we're going this evening, we want to talk about that word stir again and work a little bit with it about the scriptural means thereof. Now, this morning we went to, and to stir is to excite or to enthuse or to actually cause an action. As we understand, the definition could be so much as to incite to action, to instigate, to prompt. So it's something that makes you move, amen? Now, we went through the scripture this morning and showed you how God, He would anoint a Gentile king. He'd just stir that guy up. He'd give him the control of the world. And one of the first things on his mind is, okay, I want Jerusalem to be restored. That makes absolutely no sense when you are a Gentile king and these are the same people that you fought, the same people that killed your people. But yet, he found a place with God and God told him, charged him and said, go do it. And by the scripture, he stirred up King Cyrus to move for his purpose, right? Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Now, of course, in that, he prompted the king. Then he prompted the people from the king, right? Right. Amazing how God works. Oh, God, let us be prompted. Lord, incite something upon us, God. Instigate a move within this bride. That's our heart's desire. I ain't going to get a lot of amens. That's all right. I'm not looking for amens. I'm just looking for you to hear the word. You're tired. I'm the more tired. Praise God. But Christ was a lot more tired than all of us when He was on a cross for us, wasn't He? Praise God. But our whole point in doing this is we want to start showing you a little bit that when the fulfillment of all these things end, and this is why the Old Testament becomes quite often confusing, because we actually find they have Ezra, Nehemiah, and Chronicles, and all these books, Daniel and Haggai, and all these books are revolving around the same time frames, but they're all out of order, all mixed up, and all over the place. But we understand that there is certainly a revelation that's moving behind that word. And when God laid it in there, He laid it in there, of course, that some might receive it and some might be confused by it. But yet, if we could actually grasp what was being spoken, there would be a great lesson to learn, okay? So notice here that here we are, we're picking up about Daniel. And the scripture says in Daniel 1, says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years. So here Daniel was. See, Daniel was basically a chief among the Magi. And he had his time, he had his books he could go through. Remember, even Nebuchadnezzar, when he took Israel captive, he pulled things out of the temple, he took what he wanted. That was what the old military systems did. They literally spoiled you, right? They take everything you had that they wanted, and the rest of it they destroy or do whatever they felt what the need was, right? But anyway, here Daniel is, and within this reign, he's beginning to look into the work of God. So now he says, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So now, what was Daniel trying to figure out? Daniel now is becoming a bookworm. He's looking into the Bible. He's looking into histories. And he's finding that now that 70 years of desolation was moved upon his people, right?
Amen.
So now he's trying to understand this. Now, I find this to be so ironic that the only one we see, that we hear of, that is looking into these things to understand them is Daniel. It doesn't say that anybody else is looking into 70 years. God had prophesied, what? Another move on the people back there. That would happen in 70 years. And here the time was coming and no one was looking for the move. Except one man that we find in Babylon himself. Praise God. So notice, what does this do? What is God trying to do? Notice, God had to first move upon that man to make him desire to see what time it was. He wanted to know what time he was living in, and because his desire was great, God would move therein. Okay? So notice here, he seen there was another move of the Spirit to be upon the people. And in Daniel 9:3 it says, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. God, here we are. I see all the word coming down to this. And God, I've got to have the revelation. So what happens? He sees the move coming. So he moves himself aside and gets hungry to understand the book. Sound familiar? Wasn't that what Revelation 10 says? He told John, he said, eat the book. Take the book and eat it up. So John took the book and ate it up. So there was a corresponding time that God would bring the word, but it was their choice to eat that word. But if they ate the word, they would become the word themselves.
Amen.
That's why in Revelation 10 it said, thou shalt prophesy to many nations, many tongues. There is still a work to do. But God, what? He had a bride that could be stimulated by this word. And look at Daniel here. He gets desperate. He says, I really want to know. So he begins to starve himself. Begins to get a little bit more interested in the preaching of the word. And we see he begins to fast, begins to pray, begins to do all these things to get himself in line with the prophecy. Because he sees now's the time. So, we continue, he says, and I prayed unto the Lord my God, made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity. have done wickedly, have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. His desire to know, his desire to see the move of God, it actually drew him to a place to see the sin that he was caught in the midst of. Notice, he doesn't say they have sinned. He doesn't say they have committed iniquity. They have done wickedly and have rebelled, even departing. But he says, we say, oh, Daniel was righteous. But when Daniel looked at the prophecy, he found himself fulfilling that word. And so he didn't just label and say, the rest of the message is backslid. He said, we have fallen. His desire was what? He didn't put himself aside. You see, it wasn't a church, oh, help brother so-and-so, or help them because they're so backslid. But he seen it and said, the condition of the church is this, and I am the church. But I will move myself into an intercessory realm, and I will pray this through. So know that God anointed this man for it. So notice, as we continue in the sixth verse, he says, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day. Confusion of faces. God, where are we living at? God, what are you trying to do? God, am I the identified word? Oh God, am I part of this move that I know you've ordained? And Daniel looks and identifies and says, now I see the time closing that this prophecy be fulfilled. And he says, all I see around me is confusion of faces. Why? Because no one was getting in line with the word right. Just doing their own thing. So, we continue. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, unto all Israel that are near or far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face. Whoa, 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 whoa. Once again, here he is. And he's saying, I've studied the books. I've had my time to try to figure this word out. And now he says, once again, to us, he didn't understand the matter. He's seen the prophecy, but the prophecy was something that was not revealed to him. So what he did was, in his confessions, in his movements, everything was us. There ain't no minister that's got it perfectly figured out. There's a lot of them that act like it, talk like it, and think they have it. But when it comes down to it, we don't know how this word's fully going to play out. We don't know every intricate detail. All we know is that this is the season that the word must be made known in us. Right? Well, what's your trigger? What's going to do it for you? Come on. Is this not this day? The confusion. God, how are you going to do it? It's what's going on. Don't worry. We're going to be short tonight. So, let's continue. Why was a confusion of faces? Why were they falling short? Because of their sin, trespass, and iniquity. They had too much world, and that's all there was to it. Didn't matter how much the Levites knew about the word. They were still in this number. Didn't matter how much they had memorized. They're still in this number. But here he is, laying this down in. And I want to move to a quote, because I told you I'm not going to be very long tonight. He says in Hear Ye Him, 1957, E14, brother, if you have that. He says, just before coming to the meeting, I was reading in the book of Daniel, which I'm intending someday to take that as a complete revival. Remember, I'm finishing that outside of 70-week series, but it says, and I was noticing that how that David read by the books of the prophet Jeremiah, which was before him, how that 70 years they were to be in captivity. Well, in these 70 years, he seen was just about up when he sought the Lord. And if the day that we are living in, when we see every sign moving, pointing towards the coming of the Lord, it ought to make every minister start fasting and praying and saying, God, what must I do next? For we are near the end time. It's time that we get down and realize we mustn't just lust along and loaf along as if we were the carefree, come easy, go easy. We should be wide awake. And it seems like that such things as today, earthquakes shaking, even plaster dropping from the walls and buildings, sending up great smoke and dust or dust screams, up like mushrooms and so forth, it ought to bring us to the realization that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And when we see the church of the living God indifferent, infatuated with the world, and lost its love of Christ, and has become so denominational minded, and barriers and so forth among us, it ought to be milestones to let us realize that we're at the end of the road. Well, it's just like that now, isn't it? We're at a place where it's time that something has to stir up the identity which has been predestinated in us. And as I begin to think about this, remember my quote that I always quote in the third seal where Brother Branham said, he said, there's been no manifestation to stir the bride yet. It'll take those seven unknown thunders. It's going to take manifestation, making known to wake up the bride. Well, what kind of manifestation are you looking for? Are you looking for a revival or some sort of a special minister or prophet to rise on the scene? Or has the word already been thoroughly identified that it was God, it is God, and it will be God who is the author and the finisher of your faith? Amen. Stir up the gift that is within you. Notice all it took, all it should take is knowing that the coming of the Lord is here. How many of us know that there's not an eighth church age? How many of us have identified that the seventh angel has already been here? How many of us have identified that the word is right? Then something should stir us. Something should push us and draw us near that this word is right. And a response should be made to that word. Just like Daniel. Now, here's the place we can go. Point fingers at everybody. Well, look at them. They're not. But as you are familiar with, Daniel didn't point fingers at everybody else. Daniel said, us. If I'm at a place that I can see where the bride's at, I don't look here and I say, oh, I'm stuck with a bunch of foolish virgin. And I pray you ain't looking up at the pulpit and saying the same thing. But if you're at a place that you can see that you are in the body of the bride right here, something should be crying out and saying, we, us, we're lacking the very position that says who we are. There should be more here. There's more God for us. And there should be something that's moving us to show that it's right. Instead, we have confusion of faces. We say, God, why does the church crumble, Lord? God, why is the church laying here? God, where's the revival? God, we've seen so many great meetings. God, we've seen this. God. But something doesn't stir the past. It stirs what you are. Now, quickly, as we get here, I want to show you a few things very quickly. The scripture, the seed is not heireth the shock. I like reading this because this says it all. It says in E27, it says, now I have a message that I'm responsible for. It says, when the message first started out, it was, of course, everybody was praying for the sick, great signs, wonders, miracles. That started, especially in the Pentecostal people, a universal revival of a healing campaigns that swept the world. For 15 solid years, there's been revivals on every hill there is, I suppose. Revival fires are burning. Literally millions have accepted Christ as a Savior by that one commission. That inspired from there to Oral Roberts and so forth, and on as it's went around. After the Pentecostal church was laying in its dead slump, as it was then. Where's the message been? Dead slump. Notice what he says here. My intentions and desire tonight is to awaken that church again to the coming of the Lord Jesus at hand. I have to rebuke it. Brother, why do you have to preach like that? I have to rebuke it. I still think some of you guys think I'm back in there saying, I'm going to get them this time. I never said I'm going to get them. I just say, God, help me. I want to say what you want me to say. God, if it's your desire to clean the church, clean the church. God, if you want to take them deeper in the Word, take them, Lord. But my intentions is to bring the church to a position that they are awake. This is what God gave me. This is what God gave you. This is the place that God is to be alive. So, he says, I have to rebuke sin in whatever manner it is. I don't mean it to anybody's denomination. I have a message. Praise God. You know what type of people rarely get invited back to churches? The people that are really harsh preachers. Even in the message, I can't tell you how many times I've seen harsh preachers. If I see them preach a hard message, they don't usually get invited back. Because that's not really what message people want. They want something deep. You see, we're already, they have the concept, the mindset that we already have it. We're already in order. All we're doing is waiting for the coming of the Lord. Well, they might be waiting, but I'm looking for a stirring. Something instigating a move of more God in my life. Remember what we're trying to look at here. We want to be at a place that, thus saith the Lord, tells me to move. God tells me which move to make. God, you tell me what to speak in existence, what to pray for, what to believe in. Remember, just like Jesus Christ, he was walking through and one was crying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They told him to shut up and Jesus went to him and healed that one. Many people were sick. Many people needed God. But God went to the one that was crying out. Oh God. Real quick like oncoming storm, brother. 6092. It says, the world today, America doesn't want the gospel. They want entertainment. They've got to have something to entertain them. A lot of fancy music or something like that, or some kind of a party, some kind of wiener roast, which some things are all right outside the church. But the church is where judgment ought to be preached in the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and a warning. You want a warning? Get right. You always say that. Well, that's what the house of God should be. This is the house of correction. Judgment begins at the house of God, not parties. Judgment. Right? Talk about a spanking. Parties don't start here. They're not supposed to. Judgment does. So whose house are we going to? For what? The party? Or for judgment? Right? Where are we going to eat at? That's your party. We're not here for the party. We're here for judgment. Uh-oh. Well, we can't eat together anymore, sorry. We'll get a revelation of what's saying. You'll be all right. See, this is not a fellowship of friendship as much, catch that, as much as it is the moving of the Holy Ghost to correct, tear down your lust, your pride of life, and everything else that is exalted itself above the very things of God. Oh God, is it to bind together? Yes, we have to bind together. But what binds us together? The very internal purpose that we all might look like Jesus Christ. You see? I find that so funny a lot of times is that we come here and God can preach so many powerful things. But what never excites us is when God, he really comes and thrashes us down. You know what I mean? I remember back in my day, as I'm such an old man, you know. But I remember even in Assemblies of God, where I come from, my old people, where they would have revivals and they would just tear your hide up. And there was such an excitement that would be made from that, that you'd see the whole altars packed, people running up, crying out, people admitting things that they've done. And my God, I'm amazed that they could admit the types of things that they did. But there is such a stirring from that word that it made them clean house. It brought on a restoration. You know what? Those people always left happy. In the 80s? Yes, in the 80s. In the early 90s and into the 90s, yes. But I have watched such a dramatic change within the realms of the late 90s into the early 2000s into where we're at now. People don't care about God anymore. You know what? I sit at work with a bunch of church-going people. And it's almost impossible to talk about God because nobody wants to talk about God. They don't want nothing to do with God. Just mention a word of God. I even found that if you even mention a word about conservative principles, even amongst churchgoers, whoosh, you won't hear a peep out of nobody. Everybody be like, until the good breaker of the Klan starts breaking it off into some other topic to take you away. Because the people don't even want to think about God. I'm not going to be long-winded. But I might start up if something starts hitting me. The same thing they had the prophet. Something would stir. Something would excite. Something to start going against that grain. God, help us. God, let us be the type of people that cry out for righteousness amongst the wickedness of the earth. Acts 17:15. The scripture says here, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Here a saint of God was in a place full of idolatry. And you know what that made him do? It made him cry out. It made him call out. Wasn't he worried about being scorned or looked at as crazy? No. He cried out. And by the scripture, we see in the 17th verse, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Isn't that amazing? What it caused him to do? It stirred him up. He cried out. This ain't the fun part of the gospel, is it? If it was, we'd be a lot more effective than what we are. But look at this. He seen sin, and it did not agree with the Holy Ghost he had. So he couldn't help it. He lost control. And something controlled him. So he goes to the synagogue. Well, wait a minute. Why did he? It says, Scripture says, first he went to the synagogue. He went to the synagogue with devout persons and in the market. He cried out. somebody is going to hear the truth. What stirred him up? The Holy Ghost stirred him up. So the Holy Ghost we have should stir us in the same way. My intentions and my desire is to rebuke. I ain't talking about some legalistic thing. But what are we doing? He's starting to get mean again. I can't believe it. Two services. Notice. So God raises up. You see, this is where I want to be. This is where we all should want to be. Where we have so much Holy Ghost within us that it just cries out. That every person we see, we cry out. Brother, sister, you know about Jesus Christ. You see, don't worry about God. God will put the sermons together. We find that this right here leads right into Mars Hill Sermon. They called him. They said, Paul, come preach to us. Show us what you're thinking. He said, I noticed when I was walking through, I seen an altar made with the inscription to the unknown God. He said, you're all too superstitious. Let me tell you about him. God will put it together. But we've got to be in a place that we say, God, move. God, help us. So, this is a place for judgment. A place that we receive the word. Now, very quickly, I want to go to just a few more places and then we'll call it for the day. 2 Timothy. One 6, it says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Well, what do you think that is? Well, we see what the scripture says. It said, Peter and John laid their hands on him, they received the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of confusion about this, and I'm not going to go too far with it. But the thing of it is, stir up the gift in you. How many here have a gift? I know, I'm actually going to call you to actually be responsive now. How many of you have a gift? One more time. Because I only had 3 people that had a gift. Okay, almost everyone has a gift here. Almost. Stir up your gift. How many can say, I know what gift I have? Don't do that. But how many know? We all agree that we have a gift. But we don't know what gift that is. But we do know the certain gift that we must have, which is the Holy Ghost. So, if we're falling short of what we deem to be the will of God for our lives, what we need to do is stir the gift that we believe we've received. Because if we stir that gift up, if we excite that gift of the Holy Ghost will bring God out of us. Well, what your gifts are, your other gifts. I love when you do that stuff because it just shows. It just takes confusion away. You can't look and say, okay, everybody's got it all figured out. I'm glad that hardly anybody raised their hand. That's good. Because we have to see that there's a higher position that we're moving into. Yeah, I know a couple of gifts I have. Some of you might argue that I have a gift of preaching. That's okay. I've accepted I have that. Is my gift perfected? Well, you see, we're all coming to the perfection of what our gifts are. But I've seen the gift work. But what I want to do is to allow God. Now, remember, what should throw us into desperation here? What should move us to a place that we start fasting and praying and seeking God with all our hearts? Just the plain, simple fact we know the rapture is at hand. And that if that excited them back then, what should it do right now? When we actually find that we're the fulfillment of the Word. Boy, you excited people, calm down. Calm down, Word Bride. Don't lose control. Tell me, should it excite you that you are the fulfillment of the bride coming of Christ? Should that excite you or should it not? Should that stir something up about you that God is on your side and God has a purpose for you? God help us! There's so much laying right here. But the bride right here, there is so much gift just right here. Not to mention people who are here. That we could shake Satan's kingdom. I believe it. I believe it. I receive it. I am it. You see, we just sit there and look at this word, and it doesn't excite us anymore. But then, when somebody tells you what this really is, we start saying, yeah, that is me. That is what I'm supposed to be. This is that time. And Paul says, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. It's here. Peter, 2 Peter 1:12, wherefore I will not be negligent to you, always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present church. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Comfort one another with these words. The shout, the voice, the trump. We're sitting right here. You are partaking in the shout from God. The message is right here. The message transforming you into the body image of Christ. Right here. You said you were going to be short, brother. See who you are. You know how simple this starts? In just accepting the word, what it says you are. This is what I am. Now, I told you I wouldn't go too far. So I'm not. But just real quick, I want to finish my quote on Oncoming Storm. 92, at the end of it, it says, Lot was warned. And when the angels, though he didn't know they were angels, when they went down, their message was to Sodom, come out of this sinful place. God had provided a way of escape for you. Come out of this sinful place. 94, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, look what kind of life they were living. And Jesus compared that day with this day. Watch, when Lot went to tell his people, they laughed at him, made fun of him. And the sins of the city vexed his righteous soul. The angel's message didn't stir them, had no effect on them. But they were asked to come out because judgment was upon the city. And God was going to bring a storm of fire upon the city. And they refused to walk. They refused to come out. They were satisfied with their sins. People today seem to be so comfortable in sin. Because we own a new car. Because we can eat three meals a day, sleep on a clean bed. That's wonderful. But that would be good. But we forget God when prosperity comes like that. I think we've been so. We preachers and we Christians has been so interested in the program of building our churches and getting a better church or something like that, or a bigger church, better pews. And you know how and what I mean. And we've left off the main thing. Judgment, righteousness, power of the Holy Ghost, resurrection, eternal judgment. The angel never failed to preach the message, although they tried to stop them, but their message went on just the same. The message was having no effect on them in the day of Sodom. It was being preached, but it wasn't stirring them to a place to come out. God, help us to come out. God, let us be dissatisfied with this world, with the carnal things. God, I don't want to be so party-minded that there's no spiritual-mindedness to me at all. God, I want to fulfill this word. There you are. You love God? Just another thought. Try to move you a little further along. Remember, somebody had to move upon what was given to them. A lot of virgins in those days, but one Mary. There's a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but there's a Daniel. God, let us be in line with this word. You love God? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love you this evening, God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the simple word that you spoke to us, God. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, just a little simple, maybe broken up message, God. But, Lord, our intent, our desire is to see, Lord, that when prophecy is in the midst of being fulfilled right among us, God, may we not be turned aside by Laodicea and all the dainties of this world, God. But may we, oh God, be caught up with the message of this hour. Caught up, Lord, with a fervency to serve you, God. Lord, may we, oh God, stand to the measure you've called us to be at, Lord. God, how hard it would seem so many times, God, to live that standard, God. But Lord, we're not called, oh God, to live it without you, God. Lord, come in our lives, God, and strengthen us. Fulfill your word in our lives, God. And Lord, I pray you'd strengthen all those, Lord, who seems to be so many tired tonight, Lord. So many weary, God. And God, Lord, how we want more of you, God. We've had it all, God, but what we need is more of you, Lord. Give us strength, we pray. We love you with all our heart, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We're going to go ahead and move into communion at this time. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11.